It's 5:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Mike Arnold, filling in for Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll preview the situation surrounding the Syrian peace talks slated to begin in Geneva late this week.
First, our next guest has been tracking income inequality in the United States. He co-authored a study about the topic that was just released. Timothy Smeeting is with us. He's Distinguished Professor of Public Affairs and Economics at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and Director of the Institute for Research on Poverty. Tim, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Hi. Thank you.
All of the above.
All of the above.
It's good to have you here. Well, your report is part of a report card on income inequity and inequality. What grade would the U.S. get based on what you found?
It depends how you look at it. I would say that if you think we have too much inequality, and that it's going to get worse, you'd agree with me. You'd give it an A. If you thought income inequality was just fine and it wasn't something we'd worry about, then you'd give me a failing grade.
So you're saying income inequality is going to get worse. That's the bottom line.
It's obvious that it is. The recovery is very weak at the bottom and in terms of jobs. Millions of people looking for work who can't find it. The jobs we are creating are mainly service sector jobs, which are low paying and which are near the bottom of the wage distribution. That's not enough to support a family. The middle class is in trouble. They haven't had a wage increase in a long time. But what's the good news is at the top of the distribution, where capital markets are booming, where corporate profits are large, and this is boosting the incomes of the well-to-do, those who can afford to invest in capital markets. It's helping people's 401ks, too, so there's some effect. There's also a high education premium now, and the job recovery is much faster and stronger and better at the top of the distribution, and it will continue to be so. So what we got is a situation where the bottom is holding, the middle is sinking, and the top is rising. And we've never quite had a situation like that in America before, at least not for 100 years.
Why do you think it is that the income distribution after the recovery isn't more evenly distributed? Why is it siphoning right up to the top?
Well, the labor market's changing. There's a big structural change in the labor markets. You can't walk out of a high school and into a middle-class job now. Manufacturing employment has declined for 30 years, and it's declining again. It's not going to come back to be where it was. Construction jobs are hard to find. And most jobs that are repetitive in the middle of the distribution that used to pay a wage high enough to live on are being replaced, some by robotics, others are being exported, and so forth. So there's pressure in the middle. If you're 30 years of age and you've only got a high school degree, you're in trouble in this economy. We need to train and educate people so that when demand finally does pick up, we hope in over the next few years, that you'll be able to get a better-paying job at a profession that will support a middle-class lifestyle. So that's the situation right now, and it's not good.
Now, we've talked about how the post-recession economy is looking pretty rosy for the upper echelons, not so great for the people at the bottom. Now, is this the same pattern as we saw before the recession, or is there something about the recession that has skewered it even more so in this direction?
Well, before the recession, things were pretty flat in labor markets. People borrowed a lot, spent a lot. We told a lot of people to buy homes, and they did, at the very top of the market, unfortunately. And then in the Great Recession, it all fell apart. Now, as we restructure our economy and as we recover, the economy is changing. The demand for skilled labor is high. The demand for low-skilled labor is low, although we are creating a lot of part-time service sector jobs that pay near the minimum wage. We've got a good safety net for people at the bottom. The food stamps or SNAP program, food share it's called in Wisconsin, and the earned income tax credit helps support families with children who can't earn enough to keep their family from being poor. But in the middle of the distribution, it's really hard. Some people are going back to work at jobs they used to have at pay that's less than they had before. Others are having a spouse who's or a partner who's lost a job, and therefore their incomes are cut. These aren't poor people, but there are people who have to live with diminished expectations. They live in a world where they see people around them losing their jobs or not getting ahead much in the labor market. They realize that their home is not worth what it used to be. The price for college and other services, health care, is going up, and they feel squeezed and helpless. And then they turn around and you watch TV or read anything, and you see the people at the top carrying on just well, very well. People, many of them, I'm not saying they don't deserve it. They took chances. They were entrepreneurs. They did well. But all the rewards are going there. And that's not a good recipe for a democracy. It's not a good recipe for equal opportunity, because the children of the well-to-do have many more chances now than the children of the middle class. And Americans care a lot more about equality of opportunity than equality of outcome. And if you sense that my kid's not going to have a chance to be a Bill Gates or a Sergey Brin or whatever, you're going to be discouraged. And I think that's unfortunately where we are now.
Now, we've got some indications that people are unhappy with some of the way income is distributed. There was a Gallup poll that was just out yesterday. People were asked how satisfied they were with the way income and wealth are distributed in the U.S. 67% of respondents said they were dissatisfied, and 39% described themselves as very dissatisfied. And apparently, this is cutting across partisan lines. Can you talk about a little bit about the way people are processing the new economic landscape?
Well, here we are. The recession was declared over in the summer of 2009. That's 4.5 years later. And people are asking the question that Ronald Reagan asked them in 1980. Are you any better off now than you were before? And the answer is no, I'm not. And does it look like things are going to get better? No, it doesn't. But at the same time, they look at what goes on in the finance industry. They realize that they read the paper about what doctors and lawyers are paid. They see that if robotics are replacing jobs, they ask who owns the robots. It's not me. It's two different Americas, and it's easy to be dissatisfied. Now, if income were rising everywhere, if the bottom end was even getting a little bit better off or the middle was getting better off, we'd feel a little bit differently. Well, you know, I'm a little bit better off than I was last year, and okay, so those guys at the top are a lot better off, but I'm better off. But that's the issue this time. That's what's different. This time, the middle class is feeling like they lost out in the recession. And in fact, median income is now 7% below where it was the pre-recession peak, and things look pretty flat. The job market looks pretty flat. Incomes look flat. Wages look flat. And so what's there to be excited about if you were a former middle class or someone in the middle class is trying to hold on? And then you realize that a lot of these other guys are doing really well. And what sticks in people's craws is that I work hard. I did the right thing. I'm trying to do everything I can. I go to work every day. I put in good time for my employer, and I just can't get better off. I'm worse off now than I was, and I don't see any great prospects for things getting better in the future. That's scary. That's not very American.
Now, is this kind of inequality inherently a bad thing? I mean, you mentioned the Reagan era, the era of trickle-down economics. Mm-hmm. Can a similar case be made here that what's good for the top of us will trickle down and the prosperity will eventually reach everybody?
Well, it hasn't trickled down yet. I'll say that. And unfortunately, where in the past, quite often, it did trickle down, or a little bit trickle down, it's just not trickling at all now. To the extent to which capital is replacing labor in the workplace, those jobs are never going to come back. For a small number of people who can operate sophisticated machinery, who have good math and other skills, who have engineering degrees, who are mobile, who can work in the high-end service sector, they've got a bright future. So most of this audience we have is in Madison, and I'm talking about the Epic crowd, for instance. Our biggest private employer, growing like Topsy, providing a really important service to the healthcare sector, helping digitize their records. But if you don't have a college degree or even a master's degree, you're probably not going to get a job there.
We're talking right now to UW economist Timothy Smeeting about a new report he co-authored on income inequality in the United States. That report is part of a national report card on the economy from the Stanford Center on Poverty and Inequality.
You can join in with your questions and your thoughts about income inequality. Why do you think inequality has been on the rise in the United States? Have you experienced that yourself? We'd like to hear from you. 1-800-642-1234 or email at talk@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation after a look at the latest news with Kristen Durst. We continue our conversation now with Timothy Smeeting. He's co-author of a new report on income inequality in the United States.
And you can join in the conversation right now. What do you think about rising inequality? If you had to answer that Gallup poll question that we talked about from yesterday, how satisfied are you with the way income and wealth are distributed in the United States? What would you say to that? And what do you think the causes and the solutions might be? You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. And Tim, we were talking about college degrees. Is part of the problem here that we still live in a country that believes people need college degrees to have a decent middle class life? Do we need to change the way we think about jobs and the way you can get them?
Well, Veronica, we've not been doing well at graduating people from universities. They've been starting and getting into debt, but not finishing. This isn't a problem at a place like University of Wisconsin-Madison, but it is a problem in the other branch campuses in the UW system, for instance, where first-time college goers go, they take on some debt, then they, for economic reasons or other reasons, they end up postponing or putting off some classes. And they end up in a situation where they've incurred debt and they can't pay it back. And the reason they can't pay it back is because there's not a very good job at the other end of the line. And this is a sad situation. Now, quite often, the answer is to move to a place where there are jobs. There are booming big cities, Chicago, Boston, Pittsburgh, and so forth. But you have to be able to afford to go there and look and find a job. And probably spend some time interning.
And does it also mean that maybe we just should let go of our notion that people should go to college?
No, I don't think so. That's wrong. What's happening is that the labor market is so slack that people who have jobs that don't really require college education can hire people with college educations because they can't find jobs elsewhere. Not everybody needs to get a four-year degree. But everyone needs something beyond a bachelor's degree. You have to have a profession or a trade. You have to be able to think and work on your own. You have to be able to network, read, write, be self-managing, and so forth. And those are skills that normally a high school student alone doesn't have. So you need something, either a technical school or a four-year degree.
I want to go to the phones right now. I've got a lot of folks waiting to talk to you. We'll start off with Jim in Rice Lake. Hey, Jim.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. A couple of points I'd like to make. I am not in favor of a lot of people who seem to be in favor of wealth distribution. I think there's a sentiment in this country that we penalize for people for success, and a lot of that trickles down to smaller business owners who are the top employers of America, and we cannot penalize people by letting the government come in and overregulate and overtax businesses, because that is destroying our economy. The other thing, though, is I feel that we're a lot like the Roman Empire, where the middle class is supporting everyone, and these social programs, there are a lot of people. I mean, when you have more people going on disability than you have going out and getting jobs or extending unemployment benefits beyond a year, there's something wrong with that, and we just cannot continue to afford to support everyone. Thank you.
So, Jim, let me ask you, if you're still there, what do you propose if you're – looks like we lost Jim. Well, let's go to you, Tim. What do you think about that? Jim does not want wealth redistribution.
Well, I'm trying to understand Jim some, but the idea is the gains. What happens in this economy is that there are winners and losers, and the winners are winning big and the losers are losing more than they usually do. And in my mind, can the winners compensate the losers somehow? I don't want to penalize people for their success, but our tax rates are very light on people at the top. We allow you to declare your income as a capital gain and pay a 20% tax rate or as carried interest if you're in the financial services, and pay a 15% tax rate, which is less than most people's lowest paid employees do. Disability is an important issue. The problem, though, is jobs. And quite often, older workers who have been laid off of career jobs have some injuries and can't find good work and end up on disability insurance. Now, if we could find work for them, that would be fine. We want to extend unemployment insurance only for people who are very long-term unemployed. The other thing we could do, Jim, or whoever else out there, is make them an offer of a job of last resort. Part of the problem is a lot of people say the poor don't work enough, or this guy could work, how come he's not making it on his own? And the guy says, I can't find a job. Or the girl says, I can't find a job. Well, fine, provide him with a job of last resort. Go out and find a job in Rice Lake or anywhere else in the state that pays 10 or 11 bucks an hour, and give them a shot at that job. So we have to create jobs at the same time we're shaking a stick at unfortunate people and saying, you know, you're the disease, not the cure. You need to go out there and work. Well, give them a job. Get your local industry council together. Get your local small business employers to say what it is exactly that they need, what sorts of workers with what skills, and then spread that word around the local high schools and the community colleges and guarantee a job to somebody who comes out and who can do those things.
You know, Jim also mentioned that he thought we looked like the Roman Empire, which makes me curious. Have we seen cycles like this before where wealth is concentrated in the top?
Not since the 1880s or 1890s, and then things changed. So this is like 120, 130 years ago. Our wealth concentration is up to where it was before, just before the Great Depression. And at that point, everything collapsed and everything was wiped out. And that was a painful experience we don't want to go through. The Great Recession is the second worst episode like that, except for the fact that capital markets have come back very strong. The stock market's doubled since it's been at the bottom. People who've had the ability to save, have 401ks or own stocks and bonds, are doing very well right now. And I don't think they're being overtaxed. I think they're being undertaxed.
I want to get in another call, so let's go now to Dan in Wausau. Hi, Dan.
Hello.
What do you think about this?
Well, after watching the news, I never really was into politics personally, but I took an interest in it after watching things decline back in early 2000 with the onset of the war. I noticed personally that corporate loopholes, corporate personhood, and these ways that larger corporations skirt around the law is exactly what I think has led to this. Corporations just have more power than normal citizens do. And, you know, they have the power to get rid of the 40-hour work week. Labor laws people have fought for a long time for are just being disintegrated right now. I work for a rather large company, and I'm experiencing the same thing. In the golden days, maybe, you know, 10 years ago, people got bonuses. People had retirement pensions. And now retirement, it's laughable. It's a thing of the past. There's just no way anybody my age, 39 or younger, is going to have very much of a future.
All right. Thank you so much for calling, Dan. Appreciate that. And Tim, what do you think? How much do corporate regulations and practices have to do with the income inequality we're seeing right now?
Well, it's hard. If Jim were on there and he and Dan had a debate, Jim would say, oh, the government's all over us, we're overregulated. And Dan would say, wait a minute, you guys are getting away with murder. And the truth is obviously somewhere in between, but it's very clear who the winners are now. And the large corporations and manufacturers are winners. They have much bigger worldwide markets. Labor is very weak. I got into a couple of debates with small employers in the, actually near Rice Lake, who had a great job for welders with 5 years experience at least for 10 bucks an hour. Wait a minute, 10 bucks an hour, 5 years experience, high quality welder? No, we can't find him. Well, raise your wages for Pete's sakes. Offer him more money. That's the answer. So I'm, there's truth to both things here. Now, another thing for Jim is that small businesses start up a lot, but they also die a lot very quickly. Large corporations should pay their way, but quite often, especially those who have many subsidiaries abroad or in other countries, can manipulate their income. There's a whole branch of accounting at Northeastern University in Pennsylvania that's called funds transfer. And the whole idea is to move the revenues to the country or state or locality which has the lowest tax rates so that you can minimize taxes. And it's going to be a long time before we can get that together. And labor has become very weak. We don't have a voice for labor in this country. And I'm not talking about just about unionization. I mean, in other places, there are labor parties and, you know, people are paid some sort of guaranteed wage.
And, Tim, we're going to have to leave it there, but I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Veronica and Mike. It's been nice talking. We could go on, but everyone knows where to find me on my email address.
All right. Thank you, Timothy, UW-Madison economist and director of the UW's Institute for Research on Poverty.